Verbatim, updated, expanded, and uncensored, is the only book of its kind revealing the secret history of the last few hundred years, which documented the foundation of the Great Reset. Learn how the building blocks to forced vaccinations, a digital ID, a cashless society, and ultimately a social credit system that will deny you access to healthcare and even the money you have in your bank account were constructed hundreds of years ago and will, without your resistance, become a reality in your lifetime. Fight the future. Get your copy of The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored at moneytreepublishing.com.
You're listening to Speak Free Radio, the free speech internet radio platform.
Welcome to the Shelley Tasker Show, coming out of speakfreeradio.com, Rumble, YouTube and Facebook. Today's date is 13th of March 2024. Great guest lined up this evening. Apologies for those trying to tune in on Speak Free Radio. I don't know how that theme tune came across, but it's rather jumpy. Speak Free Radio have been having some technical issues today, so head over to Rumble or YouTube to have a better listening experience. Anyway, I've wanted to do a Flat Earth podcast for a long time, and I was just saying this to David just now. You know, it's a lot of people say Flat Earth is like, ooh, they jump on you. And a couple of years ago, it was like, oh, I can't go there. But I've got to go there. There's so much information, and this guy comes highly recommended. So I would like to bring Flat Earth Dave on. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Shelley, and... why are you willing to discredit all the good work you've done by talking about Flat Earth?
Oh, what a good question. Discredit it. I don't care anymore. A couple of years ago, it was like, oh, God, they'll think she's barking. She's a barking mad tinfoil hat wearer. And I think it's just becoming more and more open now. People are more open to the idea.
100%. When I started in 2014, if someone said, who in the room here believes the Earth is flat? All the flat earthers would be afraid to raise their hands. But now the opposite has happened. I just spoke at Anarchapulco. There was, you know, 50, a big freedom conference. First time they had a flat earther there. I had the most highly attended speech of all 50 people. And when I said to the giant audience, how many of you think the Earth is a globe? Three people raised their hand. Now, there was more globe earthers in there, maybe a couple of dozen. That's it. But they were afraid to raise their hand because the tides have turned. Because there is so much, you know, what you'll hear is when you first look into globe earth, flat earth, if you Google it, you're going to get fed pure nonsense, pure propaganda. And it's just garbage that they give you. But now there's so much information out there. I've been on so many shows. So many other people have done so much good work. The information's out. The genie's out of the bottle. It's not going back in. And it's undeniable. You'll hear globers say, oh, there's a million proofs of the globe and there's no proofs of flat earth. Flat earthers will never answer XYZ question. No, we've answered it 100 times. You refuse to look. That's where this is at. So, and one last thing, I'll throw it back to you. All flat earthers have the same exact thought. How did I ever believe we lived on a globe?
Yeah, once you know, I suppose people say there's like no going back, is there? And I am undecided. I haven't looked into it enough like so many people, and I'm not the best at science and stuff like that. And I don't retain information that great, but I'm fascinated by it. So,
Shelley, so if I said to you, is the Earth flat or a globe? Your answer is, I don't know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all we need. If you reject the globe model, you're already there. You just need the information so you can say, oh, yes, it's flat. Oh, yes, it's a horizontal, level, non-rotating, topographical plane. Yes, you'll be able to say that once you see the evidence. But one thing we all know as flat earthers, it's definitely not a globe. I mean, is it a dome covered? Is it just one pond? Is it multiple ponds? Is there rings around the pond? Are there more lands? Are there not more lands? What are all the different models? Sure, we're trying to figure all that out. But one thing that we all agree on is it's not a scientifically impossible lumpy rock surrounded by curved, smooth water that no one's ever been able to measure that curve, surrounded by high pressure air adjacent without a container to a vacuum. You cannot have that. And gravity is not the answer. We can, gravity holds the air down. That's the dumbest thing ever. And the last thing is, I'll throw it back to you again. I talk a lot. Is
good.
people like you, and I'm not pointing out, just like people, every normal people, they say, I don't understand that. It's too complicated for me. I'm not smart enough. And that's not true. You are smart enough because you have God-given common sense. The reason you can't figure half the heliocentric stuff out is because it's stupid. It's unfigureoutable. It's impossible things that they just make up stories and they have zero scientific evidence. Zero scientific evidence.
Right. Well, firstly, I'm glad you talk a lot, Dave, because this is a subject I just want you to talk. And this is the thing. It's hard to I've looked at lots of things and the Bible and things like that, quotes from the Bible that say it's flat and stuff. But, there's countless things. But can you give us a brief how did you get into this just before we head off?
All right. I'll keep it fairly short. I was doing a podcast called Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole about all of the different false flags, all of the nonsense. By the way, at the beginning, there was a commercial for the Synagogue of Satan book updated about how we need to take back our earth. We need to raise our consciousness, essentially. Otherwise, we're going to go into some dark times. That is true. I haven't read the book, but I've heard so much about that book. I got to get it, and I recommend that everyone gets it because we can save ourselves from this. By the end of this, if you're new to this, your head's going to hurt. You're going to be like, oh, well, what difference does it make? What can I do? You can do everything, right? You can do everything. So getting back to how I got into it, I was doing a podcast, Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, looking into all the crazy events, New York, Boston, and Connecticut, and all the things that happen in those places that are crazy news stories that aren't as described by the news. And people started sending me flat earth stuff. And now you know what I would do? Delete. Oh, you send it to me twice? You're now banned for life. You can no longer comment. And then they'll try and send me something else. Other people, banned for life. Sorry, no parole. I'm letting you back. As a matter of fact, I don't even want you listening to our podcast because you're too stupid to listen to our podcast. You think the earth is flat. That's dumb. But then good friend of mine, Sophia Smallstorm, a great researcher, she did a couple documentaries, one of them 9/11 Mysteries, one of the first ones, and another one was Unraveling Sandy Hook in 2, 3, 4, and 5 Dimensions. He said, Dave, I think the earth is flat. And I was like, oh, Sophia, really? And she sent me a couple links. One of them was to Mark Sargent's Clues that he was just putting out. And I watched them. And now, listen, I'm not going to say the earth is flat because I watched a YouTube video. YouTube is just a platform for people can upload anything, good stuff, bad stuff. There's great stuff on YouTube and there's nonsense on YouTube. And I said, that's interesting, but I'm just going to disprove this nonsense. I'm gonna go find proof of the globe, disprove flat earth, and get rid of all of this flat idiocracy, right? This flatness that's just so stupid. For 2 weeks, I didn't sleep. I'm looking and looking. And back in 2014, 2015, YouTube was like, oh, you like this taboo conspiracy video? Check out this Mark Sargent video. Check out this Eric Dubé video. And it would recommend really relevant stuff. Now, like Shelley, if you said, Dave, how does the sun set? And I sent you a video on how the sun sets on a flat earth. the next video that comes up will be a YouTube algorithm showing the spinning globes. It's just some nonsense to take you off track. They're really getting good at their algorithm of feeding you complete and total nonsense. So that's how I got into it. So when I, and relating to your opening comment is, I was like, I can't mention this on the podcast. This is going to make this first. When I heard about it, I was like, no, it's a CIA psyop to discredit truthers. It's to make truthers look stupid. And I just assumed that because I assumed it was false. Therefore there had to be a reason. Therefore they can't think of a better reason than to discredit truthers. So therefore that was my truth. And I said, after literally knowing it for a couple of months, I said, I got to bring it up on the podcast. And man, did that cause more controversy than when the, we first started the podcast. Then, you know, the episode one of the podcast was called 9/11 is Dave's Baby. And I literally blew up the entire, no pun intended, the entire studio. Like the, all the management's coming down, they're holding their heads. They're like, what the hell just happened? This was in New York City where I do the podcast and no one had any idea of anything that I was talking about. And so that was that. But I started bringing it up, and for a year we kept doing it, and I kept bringing up flat Earth. I'm like, it's important. There's a reason, you know, all of this stuff that's going on in the world couldn't happen if we weren't fooled into believing we live in a space. You know, we're flying through space as an insignificant speck. And then finally, the podcast after 3 years kind of blew up. We're like, okay, we're gonna stop the podcast. And I started the Flat Earth podcast because there was no podcast. There was lots of stuff on YouTube, no podcast. And the Flat Earth podcast took off, went viral, and it went great for a bunch of years. We still do it, but now we do an episode like every 6 months. we had a 2-year gap in between it because we got busy with other things. So the Flat Earth Podcast, everything I'm talking about tonight, all the information you want can be found at flatearthdave.com, right? There I have if you think this is stupid, I have a challenge for you. I have an app, right? If you go on, if you check out my app, there's a featured video every day. And on the featured video, which would be right here, you just watch that featured video every day for 2 weeks. At the end of that 2 weeks, if you think the Earth is a globe, send me one proof and you win 3 Bitcoins. That's $210,000 today, right? 3 Bitcoins for one proof of the globe. If you don't want to get the app, that's fine. Go to my website, scroll down to where it says Crash Course, click that, and there's a list of documentaries that YouTube is hiding from you. You won't find any of them without the direct link to them. And watch any 3. I recommend the top 3. And it is scientifically impossible to watch the first 3 and end up being a glober. It's just impossible. It can't happen. Right? If you're able to watch, pay attention, absorb the information, and use your God-given common sense. That's how I got into it. A little longer than I was expecting to go, but there you go.
No, that's right. It's great stuff. Right. I would hope in tonight that when we talk about this, you can give us an introduction, but for like newbies, because I think there's going to be quite a few newbies that are like, yeah, what's Shelley doing? Is she going down this route? And, you know, where would you start with this? Because, I mean, everybody, oh, the Earth is flat, the curvature, all these different things.
Let's start here.
When you
Google flat Earth, this is what they show you. They want you to believe this is flat Earth. This is stupid. No flat earther thinks flat Earth is anything like this. This is a disc in a heliocentric fake space world. You know, one of the things that flat earther, that the globers say, well, we're the only flat pancake and all the other planets are, you know, or are they all pancakes, right? This is a fake flat earth in a fake heliocentric system. So it's two fakes. That's like, you want to vote Republican or Democrat? Which one's going to save you, right? They're both the same monster. They're both the same monster. So that's called a false binary, and that's what they have you choosing. I can give you a false binary and you'll just, you know, that becomes the limit of your reality. So what is the flat Earth? I think we live on a plane, extended plane. And I say extended, is it infinite? I don't know. Your space is infinite. Did you know that your heliocentric space is expanding at like 1 billion miles a minute or an hour or maybe a second or something stupid, billion miles. Even if it was just 1 billion miles a day, it's expanding 1 billion miles a day. You know how big 1 billion is, right? So what the heck, what are we talking about here? You know, this is what they tell you, unsupported claims. We think the flat earth is just the flat earth. We live here on a stationary plane. The sun and the moon are small. They're within our atmosphere, and they circle around, giving us day and night and the seasons. I'd like to remind me to talk about seasons a little bit. That would be fun. Here is a light reflecting off of a flat surface, and there's a light reflecting off of a curved surface. When you watch the sunset over the water, what do you see? Do you see a point, or do you see the sun walking all across the water right to where your feet are? Right? You see that. That's flat versus round. This is what it would look like on a ball. You would have just a point. It wouldn't do the long line, right? This is what we experience. Water lies flat. Water lies flat. So there is no, every test in all of science and all in all of history, the test for curvature or axial rotation has proved the opposite. They've all proved the opposite. But for some reason, there's people out there defending the globe. Someone just asked me on a podcast the other day, they're like, David, how can they convince people to defend the ball if it's not true? You know, and I'm like, look at you. I go, you don't even know your own model. You're defending the ball. You ask a baller, go to somebody that believes the earth is a ball and say, and they're defending it. Say, what's the circumference? What's the diameter? How fast is it spinning at the equator? How fast is it spinning in Alaska? How far is it from the sun? How wide is the sun? How far is, just that. They won't know any of those answers. They won't know any of them. How was the diameter, the radius of the earth calculated? How was it calculated? Now, they might say Eratosthenes, but they don't know that Eratosthenes with his sticks and shadows 2,000 years ago has been completely debunked, right? They don't understand that, they were maybe taught, if they remember, that the earth is spinning around the sun and all the other planets are, but they didn't tell you that the sun is moving at 500,000 miles per hour. So all of these planets happen to be on the same plane. Why are they all on the same plane chasing that sun forever, 4.5 billion miles a year, never to return to where it was before? And for some reason, all of the stars remain exactly in the same position. How could that be? How could that be? You know what parallax is, right? If I move, my hands change position, right? Because the closer one moves faster, that's called parallax. How come never, ever in all of history have two stars changed their position? Like a far one and a close one, we should move to the other side of it. Never once has that ever happened.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Okay. I hope you get it. I hope you get it. what is this? I'm going through a couple of, I forget. Oh, so here is, where is my, so this is called the hypersonic sled track. This is a NASA test track, how fast they can make something go. Do you see it? Went by.
Yeah.
If you look it up on YouTube, hypersonic sled track, and the sound is shocking to your body. Whoa, you can barely fathom what this speed is. It's Mach 8.6 times the speed of sound. Okay. This is a rocket on a friggin' track. It's going so fast. Mach 8.6, right? All right. So you have to believe, right? If you believe that the heliocentric system is real, you have to believe that we are orbiting the sun 10 times faster than that. We are chasing the sun 100 times faster than that. But somehow, water looks like that. How could that be? Well, we're going in one direction. We're going, and once you're going that speed on an airplane, you could drink a glass of water. You want to compare an airplane to just the spin of the earth. You have to remove the outer shell of the airplane because there's no outer shell over the earth. You have to double the speed of the airplane because it's going 1,000 miles an hour, not 500 miles an hour. And you have to follow the curve and dropping a mile a minute. And let me know how your water's doing, okay? This is stationary. Every God-given sense you have tells you it's stationary and that we're not moving. We're not moving whatsoever, right? We're not moving. That's the bottom line. All of these lakes are, the water is contained. What's containing the water? The shoreline, that's higher than the water. Well, what contains the water on a ball? Gravity, that's your answer, right? But the truth is, the water is contained by the higher land. What is that higher land? What's the highest land on Earth? Antarctica. Antarctica, by far, is the highest land on Earth. We live in the Antarctic basin. All of the water is contained by the ice wall or shoreline. And it contains our water. What's out there in the outer space? We don't know. We've had some whistleblowers that said that there's several cities of millions of people in Antarctica that aren't allowed to communicate with the inner world.
Wow. Oh, I love it. I was only looking at this ice wall stuff earlier, actually. And that's it. I've watched snippets, but I've never seen that mentioned before. So basically, you're saying all the way around the Earth, there's an ice wall.
Well, it's the shoreline, but it's a cliff, and it's so high, you can call it a wall. Let me ask you a question. If you had a wall 200 feet high that was 10 feet thick, it's a nice wall, right? Solid.
Yeah.
Right? What if the wall was 1,000 feet thick? That's a nice wall, right? What if it was 1,000 miles wide? Is it still a wall? It's more of a cliff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider it a wall. We don't know what's on the other side of the ice wall, so I call it the ice cliff. Make sense? So this is the shoreline right here. Now, this little piece that sticks out here, you know, that's where you can go visit. You know, people are like, oh, you can go to Antarctica. It's easy. You know, there's a bunch of companies that'll take you from here to here. And then they'll put you on an island called Deception Island or Rothschild Island, and they'll show you some penguins and some ice, but no one is, and that's so far from the actual real shoreline, you can't even see it. But no one is allowed to independently explore out there.
And why is that? Why all the deception, because, Dave?
The whole thing is it's to hide your reality, to hide the fact that we're at the center of creation, to hide the fact that we are equal inheritors of this God-given earth. We have free will. So what they did is they created a satanic system model. They register you to it at birth. You believe it. Therefore, you're playing on their ball field. You got to play by their rules. All the flat earthers, we've unplugged from that matrix. We've completely unplugged from it. And we're separating ourselves from it, right? In 1959, Admiral Byrd did Project High Jump, and then the next year, Project High Jump, where they went over the ice wall. And I think that's when they discovered the dome. I think that's when our leaders, who are the puppets of the real leaders, if you ask me, they discovered the dome. That's when they started NASA. Don't look over here. Look up there. We're gonna send some Freemasons up to fake space. And we're going to tell you they walked on a ball. Don't look over there. But then all the countries in the world signed on to the Antarctic Treaty. All the countries in the world fighting over everything. They agree on two things. That you can't explore Antarctica independently. And you must get the jibby jab in your arm. Okay? I don't know. Kind of suspicious to me.
When you say the dome, are you referring to the infirmament?
The firmament. Question is, what's up there? What's above us? There's something containing us. You know, whistleblowers from NASA, experiments and all sorts of stuff. You know, Project Fishbowl, where they tried to blow a hole in it in the 1950s. You could see the explosions spread out over something. There's something up there. Is it energetic? Is it frozen oxygen? Is it glass? Like the Bible says, I don't know. I haven't been there. Right. I kind of think that it goes from plasma to water to a solid dome. And it's all held together, electrostatics, and it's impenetrable. Just like the dome below us, I believe, at 7.5 miles is impenetrable. Deepest hole ever dug is 7.5 miles. They couldn't get through it for years and years and years, but somehow they know what the next 4,000 miles to the center of the earth is. I'm sorry, that's pseudoscience.
Yeah. Oh, not really. See, I haven't looked at any of that. There's so much to look at, and I am more and more. I think the thing is, you know, you look at the moon landing and stuff, the fakery. People will still say with that, and I watch the videos and see the photographs, and I'm like... To me, now I see like what NASA are about and stuff like that. It all interjects, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, let's talk about the moon landing for a little bit since you brought it up. This is the LEM. Whoops. What is going on there? Two things going here. Where's the other one? Where is it? Why is that showing like that? Oh. This is, well, look, this is the close-up of, why is it doing that? That is so strange. This is a close-up of the LEM. I mean, it looks like a homeless tweaker shelter. There we go. Get rid of that. So look at these little nozzles, tinfoil, cardboard. Look at this. It's just like if a fifth grader made it. It's stupid. Yeah. It's got tape, you know, and then each leg isn't even like the other. Each one, like, oh, we ran out of gold tape. All right, use the silver tape. Oh, we ran out of foil. Okay, then just leave it off. I mean, look at this crap, right? And look at this. This is the nozzle on the bottom, right? You see the nozzle, right? And they talked about they were afraid when they were going to land that it would blow a hole in the dust and it would fall into the hole. But there's no hole underneath the LEM whatsoever. There's no hole underneath the LEM. Now watch this. This is the LEM taking off. And look at the shadow. No shadow works like that. As you go up, the shadow disperses. Look at this dark shadow. Right? They're filming that as this thing is just flying up from the moon. Oh, look, there's the launch pad. That's not how shadows work. That's not how shadows work at all. Where is my LEM launch? Is this it? Another picture. How did that dune buggy fit inside of this thing? How did it fit inside of that? Right?
It's just
how did it fit inside of that? It's so stupid. I can show you some Russian stuff, but and just the other agencies landing on the moon, right? This is India. This is what India showed us, right? And people just like, oh, cool. Yeah, they landed on the moon. Very, very, very cool. But I'm trying to find my LEM. Here we go. So this is the LEM. It's just stupid. And here, let's take a little closer look. Here. Look at this.
It's like junk modeling, isn't it?
It's just horrible. Look at this. If your basement was sheetrocked like this, would you ask for a refund? I mean, it's absolutely horrible. And here's the launch. This is what I was looking for. Here's the launch of the LEM. Now remember, the nozzle is down here. The orbiter, where the one guy is on the orbiter, is going, I think, 2,000 miles an hour orbiting the moon. Okay. So this is stationary. The orbiter is going 2,000 miles an hour orbiting the moon, right? So watch. Now the nozzle's down here. There's nobody left on the moon to film it and follow it, but something films it and follows it. The nozzle, no nozzle. So it goes ba-boom, like a cannonball launch. So this thing with two guys in here that without seats is going to go up and somehow sync up with the orbiter and dock perfectly airtight, right? Who filmed it? How did they get the film? There was digital back in the 60s, according to and before they go up, there's two guys on the moon, one guy's on the orbiter. Now this is just done in a zero g plane. Look, he's got all these papers. Oh, doing something important. What's he looking for? Why would then who's panning the camera up? Who panned the camera up? Who panned the camera up? Watch. And of course, he lets it go because it's all to mesmerize. Oh, that's so cool. Like, why is he letting that go? What was he looking for? Who's panning the camera up? This is all just to capture the imaginations of the kids and the adults, which are kids, because this is literally Disneyland for adults. Now watch this. On the moon, where's the sun? The sun is over there, right? Over there. Because you can see his shadow. You can see the lit side of him. Now, there's only one light source on the moon. NASA says they didn't bring any lights. Just the moon, just the sun. So there's the sun behind him. Now, watch carefully. He's going to the right. So the camera's going to pan to the right. pan to the right. It's just panning to the right. Panning. And now look at the shadow. The shadow's going this way now. So the sun's over here. The sun, how did the sun get over there? It's panning to the right. Panning to the right. And now, hold on. Look, the sun is completely on the other side now. The shadow's going that way. You see it?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. That is impossible.
People.
That's impossible.
Back then, people weren't studying it. I wonder how many people watched that for the first time and thought, that's a load of bullshit. You know?
I watched it and thought it was the coolest thing ever. All right?
Yeah.
Now watch. Watch. This is from the middle when the sun was about this way. Watch here. You're going to see a reflection of four square lights. There's two of them. One, two. And when he turns, you're going to see three and four. Ready? One, two. Three, four. You see them?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, could that be something like this? Could it be? I don't know.
It could be. I'm a photographer and, I know a little bit about light and shadow. So,
right.
Yeah. Right.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, don't ask me anything too technical.
Well, this is easy. Look at these chairs. Do you remember back in the 1980s? I don't know how, I won't date you. But 90s, even now, that's called a shitty beach chair from CVS, okay? They now have a better one, Tommy Bahama chairs. But this is two beach chairs, an umbrella, spray-painted gold. Look at this. Look at the thing. It's a Jeep chassis. And
interestingly, actually, that umbrella looks like the type of reflector that you would use in a photography studio.
And it kind of does.
They
probably just like, oh, here, spray paint this gold and do this. And now this would have to be pointed exactly at the spot that it needs, but they're driving all around and it's shaking all around and they're live broadcasting. Give me a break, live streaming. This thing cost $38 million back in the 60s. $38 million. And today with inflation for $37 million, you can buy this bad boy. All right? Does anybody see a problem here? Does anybody see a problem here? Now, have you ever watched, you put something in a vacuum chamber, it explodes. The air tries to get out of it. There's a video, look it up, Stretch Armstrong in vacuum chamber. He explodes, right? How come when this guy's wearing this silver snowboarding suit, he goes out in space, he doesn't explode like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? Okay? Why isn't the air trying to escape? Why does the Earth have a box around it when we crank it up in Photoshop? Right?
Yeah. Sorry for those listening on the radio and not watching.
Oh, I think
probably need to watch this. No, that's all right. That's okay. Right. But yeah, the visuals are great. And I'm glad you've got the visuals because I need visuals to see and understand.
Let's talk about seasons for a second. And I'll describe this for people on the radio. So they tell us that the sun is 93 million miles away. We're spinning. And, during our northern winter, the sun is 3.5 million miles closer to the Earth. And it's farther during our summer. That's what they tell us. But it's all the angle of the sun. Because the Earth is tilted away during our winter, we get indirect rays. And when it's tilted towards us, towards the sun, that's why it's warmer. So the distance really doesn't matter. That's what they tell us. So I'm showing a little drawing here. Early morning sun, 93 million miles away, it's cold. Noon sun, 93 million miles away, it's hot. Evening sun, 93 million miles away, it's cold, all right? Interesting. So now let's look at on a flat Earth with a small local sun. Morning, far sun, cold. It moves closer, near sun, at noon, it's hot, and then it moves farther away, it's cold again. Temperature drops because the sun is far. A heat source, the farther it is from you, the colder it is, the warmer it is, the closer it is, right? So if it was the tilt of the Earth causing the seasons, that would mean in the summer at sunrise, it would be arctically freezing because that's the farthest tilt possible. That's an 89-degree tilt versus just a 66.6-degree tilt, all right? Or a 34-degree tilt, right? So this is what it looks like. The Tropic of Cancer in June, the sun goes across. It's near us in the north. You're in the north, you're in the UK. So the sun is closer to us, and that's why it's higher in the sky, because it's closer. Look at a street light. The ones that are closer to you are higher up. The ones that are farther away are lower, but they're all the same height. In the winter, in December, it's warm in South America and in Australia because the sun is closer and higher in their sky. And on a flat Earth, it just looks like this. The sun circles around the inner circle. And then in the winter, it goes to the outer circle. And that's how seasons happen. The red line's the equator. It crosses over the equator twice a year. For us, it comes near us, and then it moves away. It comes near us, and then it moves away.
I'm trying to take all of this in.
It's a lot to take in.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. The sun goes around once a day. The sun, wherever it is, it's noon. It keeps track of the hours and the days. It laps the moon once every 28 days. So the moon starts getting farther and farther behind the sun. And its phase determined the weeks and the months. There used to be 13 months of 28 days, which is 364. One day to reset the year. And there you go. So, and then the stars that never change circle around, and they're going just slightly faster than the sun. The sun's going a lot faster than the moon, laps it in 28 times around. Imagine you're running around a circular track, and someone's running with you. And after 28 times around, you've lapped them. That's the sun, and they're the moon. But the stars, let's say there's a whole bunch of other people, they're the stars. They're going slightly faster than you. Each lap, you're just a tiny bit farther behind, tiny bit. 365 times around, they finally lap you, right? So the sun will drift back through each zodiac, keeping track of the seasons and the years. In the summer, we're in the Tropic of Cancer. The sun is in the Tropic of Cancer. And in the winter, it's in the Tropic of Capricorn.
Right.
It makes so much sense when you see it. Yeah, everybody listening, here's the thing. Did I mention my 3 Bitcoin challenge? I offer 3 Bitcoins for 1 globe proof. Just get my app, go to my website, send me 1 globe proof, and you win. The app is $3, one-time charge. There's all sorts of stuff on the app. There's some higher features on the app that has a subscription. It's $11 a year, and you can get it for free if you just recommend the app to a couple people. You get points, and then you can trade them in for a subscription. But the app will show you what Google, who used to be logo, don't be evil. They are the essence of evil now. The only thing more evil than them is the Vatican, but that's a whole other podcast. They're hiding this information from you. That should make you want to look, right? And the best place to find it, it's all there. It's all in one place.
I've never really pulled it into one thing like this to do with astronomy and stuff. And I'm suddenly getting flashbacks at school about the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn. And I'm thinking, my God, it's a whole rabbit hole, really, isn't it?
Here's one that people can look at easily. There's a lot of flights from Sydney, Australia to the U.S., Maine to all the way down to Houston, Texas, and Mexico. And I'm showing a map here, which has all the straight lines. And right here, the most southern line is Hawaii. Well, all flights to all of these locations, they all fly north of Hawaii. Go look at it on a globe. There's no reason any of those flights should go north of Hawaii. They should all be south of Hawaii. But on a flat Earth map, it makes perfect sense. On a globe, it makes zero sense. If I type in southern flights, here's a trip from Auckland, New Zealand to Lima, Peru. Instead of just going across right to Lima, Peru, where everybody wants to go, they go the same distance all the way up to Los Angeles and then all the way down to Lima, Peru. Why is that? Look at a flat Earth map. Auckland, Los Angeles, Lima, Peru. It's a straight line.
So why is that then? Is that to avoid the whole Antarctica thing?
No, just listen to what I said again. The flight track that they show you, Auckland to Los Angeles, they fuel up again, and then they fly to Lima, Peru. That seems like a waste of time making that big triangle. That's a huge diversion. But that's not really how they're going. They're going from Auckland, straight line to Los Angeles, fuel, straight line to Lima, Peru. This is the actual flight path. But if you mark these waypoints on a globe, it looks like this.
Right,
which is
I understand.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely, absolutely stupid, right? This is the World Cup. This is one because people relate to World Cup. They were in Doha. The Buenos Aires team won, Argentina. And instead of flying on their private plane that's just them, that doesn't need to drop off anybody or pick up anybody or do anything else, they went to Rome for fuel. Now, the distance from Rome to Buenos Aires is pretty much the same from Doha. Why did they travel thousands of miles to Rome and then go down? Answer is Doha, Rome, Buenos Aires. It's a straight line. It's a straight line. What's the fastest way between two points, Shelley?
A straight line.
There you go. All right. And this is one, being a mother, that you can relate to. Flight from Hong Kong is going to the UK, but it stopped in Germany 12 hours later. Why did it stop? 4 hours into the flight, a family traveling together, mom, small kids, husband, the mom died suddenly. Boom, she's dead in her chair. You got to stop right away. They flew for 8 more hours. Could you imagine this? Family, little kids, mom, and the plane was full, so they had to keep her in her seat for 8 hours. Why didn't they land? There are dozens and dozens and dozens of places they could have landed, but they didn't land. Reason being is because 4 hours into the flight when she died, they were over Russia. They were flying over Russia. And if they landed in Russia, two things could happen. It could spark world peace, couldn't have that. And people would say, why the heck did you land in Russia? Hold on, look at this map. And people would be like, this is proof of the flat earth. So they couldn't admit it. They just like, oh, whatever. They made up an excuse. Makes absolutely no sense. Makes perfect sense on a flat earth.
I'm going to have to get a map, a flat earth map, and start doing these little things.
Well, you can learning. Do all of that. All of that is on my app. If you just go to the images search and type in maps, right? Map. And this is the Gleason's map that was in all. It was in all libraries and encyclopedias until the 1950s when they removed it. But this is the map of the world. It's the best map that we have. Is it perfect? I don't know. I think it's pretty damn close because on my app, wherever the sun is, I can call somebody. I can say, let me see. Right now, let's look at it right now. We'll compare it to where you are and where I am. So right now, you're like right here, right? Somewhere in here. The sun just set a little while ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still in the light. I'm right here. Sun's going to be setting for me in, maybe another hour or two. It'll be twilight. Here's the twilight. This will come around. My friend Jaron in California, he'll have an extra 3 hours after the sun sets for me, right? It's like noon in Hawaii right now. Hawaii is like right under where the sun is. If I waited until the sun got over here and called my friend PK, and said, where's the sun and what time is it? He's like, it's almost right above me, but it's noon. And so I can pick any point where the sun is, call somebody, and they'll tell me it's noon. So there's something right about this map. The sky is a perfect clock. You know why I say that? Because all clocks are set on the sky clock, right? The most precise watch in the world is time to the sky clock, because time is the sun, the movement of the sun and the stars. So how could that be in a heliocentric, gravitationally filled beehive of gravitational objects? How could everything work so perfectly? How come when we have planetary alignments, all that gravity doesn't add up and pull things out of the way? Everything works perfectly. We know where every wandering star, aka planet's going to be. We know when every eclipse is going to happen. People, what about the eclipse? What about the eclipse? Eclipses prove the globe, right? Nope. Eclipses are not what they tell you. Since we have an eclipse coming up, let's look at eclipses for a second, right? And I'll try to, radio audience, you're out of luck. You got to come to the Rumble channel, okay? it's not going to happen. All right. So here we go. So this is a little experiment I did here. There was a lot of spraying of the sky. That's all I'll say about that. And I could really see the eclipse. This is me looking at the eclipse, filming it. The sun is like 75% occulted, but I can't see the moon. Can't see the moon, right? Check this out. Why is that doing that? Air projected, sun, transition, and it's gone. All right, well, that disappeared. So whenever you see an eclipse, you can't see the moon. It's just missing sky. Just like here, it's missing sky. There's no, you can't see the moon. People say, well, the sun's so bright, you can't see the moon because it's right in front of the moon. But when there's a total eclipse, you still can't see the moon. No one's seen it from the space station, from an airplane. You can't see the moon. I claim the moon isn't there. I think it's behind the sun. Or whatever is eclipsing the sun is behind the sun. So here's the eclipse, and this is a rear projection screen. This is a paper towel, and behind it I have a light, and I'm eclipsing the light with a circular object, right? I'll show you that in a second. So let me just bring this forward. So here we're filming an actual eclipse. The eclipse is like 85, 90%, and we saw this. And it's like, well, that's how much eclipse there is. This is just so bright, it's blowing out the lens. But this is the lens flare because it's moving around. But what is this? It's locked into position into the sun. Like, that can't be a lens flare because that's a lens flare. What are we seeing here? I think we're seeing the rear projector of what we're seeing in the sky. There's the sun that we see and the actual sun. So I made another experiment. I said, hey, what if my paper towel wasn't as transparent as the sky? And I did it with a thinner tissue. Watch it. So I'm going to show you right now. This is, you can't see, again, you can't see what's eclipsing the sun, but this is it. This is a rear projector. I have just literally a paper towel tube with a light projecting on here, and I'm eclipsing it with a Snapple bottle cap. You with me?
Yeah.
And then this is what we see because we live over on this side of the sky, right? So I said, all right, what if the sky is more transparent? So I did it. Now, again, look, notice, you can't see the moon. You just see sky, see missing sun. So here I am doing it again with a thinner tissue. And look, you can see the rear projector. We're looking through the paper towel. This is the source behind it. This is what we see. But you can't see this. You can't see the sun because the sun's so bright, you can't see it. But during an eclipse, the light is so reduced that all of a sudden you can see through the sky. You can see through the sky. And if we compare that to the actual eclipse, what do we see? It's the same exact thing. It's the same thing. So I think this is the real sun with the real body that's blocking it in front of it, but we're seeing the projection onto our sky screen just like I recreated here. Did you know that if you go down in a well in the middle of the day with the blue sky, if you drop yourself down in a well and look up, you can see stars?
Yeah.
When the sky, you can see, for some reason, you can see stars.
I'm imagining now.
Yeah. During the day, though, when you can't see stars, if you're down in the well and you look up, you can see stars. I'm going to jump in a well next time I see one. I got to try it. I can't wait.
But what do you think, then, of like a twin sun? I know a fair few people think
Yes.
Two.
Yeah. What I'm showing you here, this could be considered two suns, the real sun and the sun that we see.
Yeah.
The real sun, the sun we see. You got to check out Crow with two R's, 777radio.com. He talks about the real sun. He's got his equipment. He's got the best footage ever. He has a movie called, oh man, he's going to shoot me. It's called Shoot the Moon. And it's free if you're a subscriber to his podcast. So check him out. CROW777radio.com. And I tell you, if you have kids that you're going to send to college, do not send them to college. It's indoctrination and a waste of money. His thing, have them watch five, listen to 2 hours, five episodes, 2 hours each a week. And inside of a month, they will be more prepared for this world than any college student anywhere, right? And I know several people that have done this, several families that have done this. They're like, their kids are thriving. They're filled with energy. They're filled with curiosity and drive, and they're going to be super successful. College is nonsense. Unless, of course, you want to be an orthopedic surgeon, then you need the training, right? You want to be a brain surgeon? Sure. You know, you want to be an electrical engineer? Sure. Go work for an electrical engineer. You know, get your experience that way. But college, marketing, and it's like all that stuff, nonsense. You can learn all this stuff on your own. That's about that.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Well, we've literally got about 8 minutes left, Dave.
Here's the thing. Just start the... Why does flat earth matter? What difference does it make? I still have to go to work on Monday. We all were programmed to say that. I used to say that. I don't even know what day of the week it is today, right? I don't have to go to work on Monday, right? I walked away from the American dream. College, corporate America, started my own business, CEO of my own business, super successful. And I walked away from it all to talk to people like you, because the world is going to hell. And unless we raise our consciousness, and you can't do that plugged into the heliocentric satanic ball model, unless we raise our consciousness, we're going to go into some really dark times. I typed in demonic. Check this out. This is a Space Force. Flip it upside down. What does it look like? Even with the friggin' star. So it's literally, it's Baphomet. The Space Force logo upside down is Baphomet. Down to the star. Baphomet has a star. It's got his horns, right? Look at this. That's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence.
Isn't that backwards in Hebrew or something? I can't remember.
It means to deceive. And the National Space Aeronautics and Space Administration, add up all the letters, it's 666. Six times six times 600 is the circumference of the earth, 0.666 curvature per mile, inches per mile, 66.6 kilometers per hour, I think it's miles per hour, 66,600 miles per hour, and six times six times 60 is the diameter of the moon. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of their satanic model. There are so many. I can't even read them all. It's all satanic. Now, I'm not afraid of numbers, but this is how how this world works. They use their numbers and their symbols to let you know, hey, if you're smart enough to decode this, then you can make a free will decision. They don't want to trap you without giving you a chance to figure it out. It's all there. It's all there. So, National Aeronautics and Space Administration equals, 666, if you add up the numbers. That can't just be a coincidence. It's too much. So what I tell people is, it'll change your life. You'll unplug from the Matrix. Go watch The Matrix. It's a documentary now. You know, go watch Idiocracy. It's a documentary now, right? The world is going to hell unless people raise their consciousness. Now, a lot of people are raising their consciousness. On the app, you know, people... The one thing people used to say is, oh, Dave, you know, I'm flat earther. I can't talk to my family. I don't have any friends, right? But now you can find all the people near you. The app has the friend finder. I can click on any one of these dots, look at somebody's profile, message them. We sent out a radius message, you know, to 50 kilometers and said, hey, we're having a meetup. 85 people showed up. It's amazing. And everyone that shows up is amazing. Can we do a little test before we run out of time? We got time, right? Got four minutes.
Yeah.
So fine. I'm going to go. I'm going to start a group call where can I do it? Because we'll try it. I have messages. I have different groups. There's 105 members in this group, and I'm going to click the call. Let's see if this works. Yeah. Now you can see my green screen. I don't think so. And it should be calling. And now anybody that sees this will jump on, and I can start talking to them. It's like the greatest thing ever for meeting people, People are using it as a dating site, as a job site. You can search by people's interests, people's locations. Like, hey, I want to move to the UK. I could type in UK, whatever area, and real estate broker, and some real estate brokers will show up. You know, will come up. And then I'd rather work with a flat earther who's a real estate broker, right? If I'm looking for a cabinet maker, I could search for cabinet makers near me, and then I get 10 applicants. You know, and one of them is a flat earther that I found on the app. I'm going to hire the guy from the app. I don't care if he's not as good as the other guys, right? Or maybe he's better. He's probably better because he's smarter. But nobody's answering right now, but that's okay.
That's typical.
Yeah, typical. Typical. So we're running out of time. I know we're on a tight thing. So flatearthdave.com. Check out the free stuff there. The app is amazing. And I'm not here to sell apps. I'm here to help wake you up. And the app is simply a great tool. It's $3. It's a half of a beer, all right, and a bar. And you have it forever. So I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, sign up. I'm going to sign up in a minute.
Yes.
Yeah. No, well, so flatearthdave.com. And I mean, you've been on, well, thousands of podcasts, haven't you?
I've did 1,200 interviews since 2020.
Oh, it's not bad going.
Yeah, it's all right. It's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it changes your life. It brings you close. It lets you find out who you are. It expands your mind. You're able to think outside of the box, outside of the dome, outside of the prison. And your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings create your reality.
Right. Oh, it's been awesome, Dave. And I hope you'll come back at some point and we'll go a bit further when I've educated myself a bit more and I can
just, you know, people are busy. Just watch the daily video each day. And the video that comes up after it will be another good video. So just watch a video and you're like, wow, that was really good. And then if you start your day out with one Flat Earth video, that's like starting your day out with something super positive, super energetic, something that your soul goes, yes, some truth. And then your day goes awesome. So there you go. Peace out.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Take care, my friend. And we'll speak again.
All right. Bye-bye.
Dave. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yep.
Bye. Wow. That hour went super quick. So we will be back the same time next week. There is no Curno connection this evening, guys, because Paul Maleficus is poorly. Probably got man flu. But yeah. So be back same time. Actually, it will be Maleficus taking my place. Have a good week. Take care, guys.